And we are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, by the way, the lovely Charlene just texted in and let me know that the GoFundMe site for those guys at Pikeify at UNC Chapel Hill is over $400,000 now. Big rig, over $400,000. Please. Is there a flag I can go save somewhere? Please, just direct me. I will be glad to do it for less than half of that. Wow, that's very cool, though. Over 400. I hope the fraternity is able to, like, you know, remodel their house and all kinds of stuff with it. But and I know that they'll have some stipulations as to its application. But even still, I think that's very cool. I also saw, too, as a part of what Charlene just sent me, Clay Travis, who has OutKick, he just texted or tweeted out. He says, I will pay for any gay or trans anti-Israel protesters on campuses to travel to Gaza and march for gay and trans rights, gay rights there. I'll rent the plane. I'll fly there. I'll accompany you on the bus to the border of Gaza. And I'm sure your arguments for tolerance will be received well there. I'm saying no. Nobody's going to take him up on that. Why would that be? Because. Anyway, just wow. All right, listen, we've got all kinds of doings going on today. Text messages are flying in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in or call it in. The topic of the monologue is going to carry through into the first dipper, so if you're on topic, just know that now's the time. Oh, my gosh, they're piling in, man. I can't even keep up with this. Randy from Huntsville says, Randy, I'm not going to talk about your auto tag renewal right now, but thank you very much. Charlie from Huntsville says, are they looking through videos to prosecute the students that caused destruction at UCLA and other campuses? I hope so. I mean, these kids keep themselves masked for a reason, but I feel certain that at some point they can identify some of them. Listen, the damage being done, especially at UCLA, I hope y'all saw, I bet if you just Googled UCLA protester damage and see what you see, it would be, it's maddening. You look at it and think, I'm not an alumni of UCLA. I don't live in California, but that just ticks me off, man. Just let's look at, I don't mean that like lightly. I mean, that just ticks me off. You look at it and think these self-entitled little, you know, numbskulls, I got to find all the nice things to say, but anyway, but they're doing this like they have some kind of right to tear stuff up. Well, because we felt very important about it, and you know, I think that we just need to do this. Let's tear something up. And just, it's, here's the other thing that I'm curious about. Who in God's name is paying for all this? Because the protesters at UCLA, listen, they were stacked up with some 3/4-inch plywood. I mean, they had built up barricade walls with 4x8 sheets of 3/4-inch plywood that's running like $50 a pop at Home Depot. Well, when you multiply that times the, you know, couple of hundred sheets of plywood they use as barrier walls, who's paying for that? And then all the tents that match, like you pointed out the other day, all the tents that match, I'm talking to Big Ray. I'm not talking to myself. I'm actually talking to Big Ray.
Yeah, I remember.
Grace from Madison says, you're right on importing the Palestinians, angry people with no intention to assimilate and be thankful. Instead, they want to use our laws against us. Look what they've done to Israel and forgotten Lebanon. Yeah. John from Harvest says, Phil, agree with everything in your monologue. Did you see the protest at Alabama? Yes, I did. And I'm going to talk about that later. I actually included that in my Woke World segment, but it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. It said, nice to see the president help them to find common ground. He did campaign to be a uniter, after all. Yes, indeed. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, we're going to have to return to corporal punishment because if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. It's pretty evident right now. When our forefathers wrote the Constitution, said there couldn't be any cruel and unusual punishment. I'm pretty sure they had all received spankings and they had all spanked their children. So it's not cruel and unusual if the founders did it. Can we have that written into the law? Can these protesters all be spanked? I don't know. Frank from Huntsville says, everybody that threw something at those young adults should be charged with assault. I agree. Totally. Totally. Morgan from Fort Myers. I believe the country geographically is a lot like it is politically, where the fringes are what causes the problem. I don't believe that in the middle of the country you find near as much chaos as you do on the fringes. I think there's more frat boys out there than there are purple-haired freaks, and you need a cry closet and a nappy. I agree with you. It goes back to that song. Try that in a small town. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I am in dipper number one, which has already gotten a lot of attention on the text lines. I mean, I'm blowing up over here, Big Rig. Like, I'm pretty sure our texture is about to overheat. But there's a bunch of y'all texting in. I will come back to them here momentarily and catch up on a few of those. Text it in or call it in, 833-687-4448. That story, by the way, of those students, the picture to me is classic. I hope those guys have that picture blown up, poster size, framed and put on the wall of their frat house. I hope that somewhere someone makes a bronze plaque out of it. I hope that someday there are kids out there who are inspired by it and it becomes, you know, the next level of like, I don't know, the level of patriotism we see in them, that it becomes that thing that inspires other kids. Okay, so that story was cool. You know what? Here's a piece of that story, though. There's a little nugget in the middle of like this particular one I'm looking at Fox News. North Carolina student said he would have protected the American flag with his dead body from the Marxist horde. The story is great. I read you some of the key quotes out of it. I mixed them into my monologue. But there's one other piece that I think needs to be pointed out in here. When the pro-Palestinian protesters took down the American flag, it was an American flag, yes, point number one, but it was also an American flag that at that particular moment was flying at half-mast in honor of four Charlotte police officers who had been just killed in the line of duty. Let that sink in. They could care less that it was the nation's flag, and they could care less that it wasn't theirs to take down, and they could care less that it was also flying at half-mast to honor the lives of four police officers who had just been killed in the line of duty. I mean, that to me just speaks volumes about where this is. This morning at UCLA, it got real. I mean, UCLA, it got like nuts real. I don't know why it took so long. That's one of the things that's been frustrating people around the nation is to look at this from afar and go, what are you waiting for? Now, I will say this, and I've got a friend who is the chief of police on a major university campus. He and I talked, and I've confirmed with him. And I remember when I was in the legislature, we actually, I think for this one, we did one from Miles College, and I think we did one for Jacksonville State, I think. I've forgotten. But a lot of these campuses, they are considered jurisdictional in and of themselves. They have their own police jurisdiction. They have their own police force. And they have to, more often than not, it'd be like, I mean, pick one, the city of Huntsville, city of Madison. You know, if you have somebody that you're in a high-speed chase and they cross over the borders and life, limb, or property are at risk, or you have someone that you can, but you're calling ahead, making sure they know you're coming into their jurisdiction. But if they need help, they have to call for it. We need backup from Huntsville PD. Can you assist? You know, that happens. Same is true with these campuses. So some of these campuses are a little bit bound by jurisdictional legalities where the police force can't just do what it does. It's going to need help from the outside, and then they have to have a request. Why, though, are they waiting so long on the request? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you, except that I imagine there's been quite a bit of hand-wringing. Just wringing their hand. I don't know. If we call the police, how will it look? What will happen? Well, they're tearing up your campus. They're threatening your other students who are otherwise law-abiding. They're shutting down your operations. The reason you exist is to educate kids. The reason you exist is solely for the purpose of providing an education and the environment to provide that education. And if you can't do that, then perhaps you're failing from the get-go. But the LA Times has an article. More than 200 arrested as police dismantle the UCLA pro-Palestinian camp. Yeah, they did massive property damage too, by the way. Massive. I saw the video. I told you earlier, you got to check it out. Massive property damage. Police moved into the pro-Palestinian encampment at UCLA on Thursday morning. I want to say it was like 3 in the morning. And they went in with, they were launching flares in the sky, using piercing blasts from, crowd control speakers. Smoke filled the air from fire extinguishers. The demonstrators were trying to spray at the police. One officer, they say, was shooting rubber bullets in the crowd, although I heard that there weren't any rubber bullets at all. The officers were in riot gear, had to begin tearing down the plywood and metal fencing that the students had been allowed time to put up. And again, how are they getting that stuff in there? Where did, I don't know who paid for it, but then again, also, who let the truck full of plywood drive in and offload? I mean, at what point was somebody going to say, hey, stop that truck? But it goes on to say, and I see I got a call. I'll take you here in 1 second. But it goes on to say that President Biden has finally spoken out. I didn't know this. Did you? Apparently it wasn't much. He did say vandalism, trespassing and breaking windows and shutting down campuses and forcing the cancellation of classes. None of this is peaceful protest. You think? He said dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying rights of others. And he reiterated that discrimination should never be tolerated. I don't think he once said, make it stop now. He never once led from the front by saying, I will send in security elements if you don't handle it on your own. He didn't do that. Where's Gavin Newsom? I don't know that he said a word. His UCLA, one of his flagship campuses, just got destroyed. That's a public university, by the way. Says students, faculty, and staff erected makeshift camps and demanded an end. Let that sink in, too. Students, faculty, and staff were building these plywood barricades. One woman was walking around behind the UCLA barricades, passing out cookies, grapes, and granola bars, saying, it's the revolution. You got to eat. Okay. Let me jump on a phone call real quick before I run out of time for that. Is that Sparky? Hey, Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, bud?
I'm awesome. You know my feeling on these protesters, these college-age kids. They have no idea where the Palestinian territories and where Israel could even be found on a map. But
yeah.
I don't know if you touched on it, but have you seen that finally the news media is starting to peel back the photos and IDs of these paid professional protest agitators who show up to protest, you know, BLM, George Floyd, the same people protesting man-made global climate change, and the same people have been showing up on these campuses this week to instruct these sheep-like young kids on what to scream, what to say, what to do, and then they drive away with a fat paycheck as these kids get their, you know, their college careers destroyed for participating in felonies.
Yeah, I did see that. There's one that I've got an article here from Red State. Her name is Lisa Fithian. And she's like this bitter hack who goes around and just all she does is she's been arrested over 80 times by helping to coordinate these kind of protests nationwide on every movement you can think of.
She's 63 years old, and you look at her and you're like, yep, she's that hippie chick who never grew up, and she wants these kids to be just as angry and miserable as she apparently is because there's not a liberal or socialist cause she can't get behind. But more importantly, she takes big money from somebody. Somebody's paying her really well to go around and agitate and stir this stuff up. And I want those people identified. I want them prosecuted because they participated not in just the event. This is a coordinated effort, and it deserves prosecution.
Yeah, I mean, when is it not at the very least conspiracy? You know, you're funding these things to foment violence for the sole purpose of fomenting violence and discord. It's a mess, man. Appreciate you, Spark.
Y'all be good.
You too. Sparky from Harvest. Yeah, he's right. We got paid professional protesters out there. Like, so the story I was referencing for Red State with him is, it lays it on pretty good. It says there are professionals involved too, and we know they're being funded and coordinated. The question is by whom? We have some ideas, and the answers are not shocking. So George Soros has been tied to several of these groups, yes. You know what else is crazy? There's an organization called Act Blue. Act Blue is a funding source for Democrat political campaigns. Act Blue is helping to collect the fund. And by the way, Act Blue is like a clearinghouse, a funnel, if you will. We have WinRed is the name of the Republican one, and Act Blue is the one for Democrats. And it's a big money operation, and basically there's a lot of money that funnels through. It's sort of like an escrow account. Everybody gives their money to Act Blue, and it gives it back out to Democrat causes, except that apparently it's also been helping raise money for these protests. Yeah. And oh, by the way, keep this in mind. Act Blue makes its money off of managing money. It gets paid a percentage for handling the donations that come through it. It's a clearinghouse. It knows how to do all the things for the campaign filings, and it's got to you know, meet certain criteria under the law to be this kind of a financial clearinghouse. But the fact is, they're making money off the donations that is being funneled through them to give to these protesters, and then that money they make goes to help Democrat candidates. Let that sink in. That's the third time I've said let that sink in. But yeah, so that lady Fithian I mentioned a minute ago. Well, by the way, Bill Ayers has showed up. Bill Ayers went to an anti-Israel mob at the University of Chicago on Monday. Bill Ayers. Remember Obama's buddy? Bill Ayers from the Weather Underground crazies who did the bombings in the 60s? Yeah, that Bill Ayers. Lisa Fithian, the one I talked about a minute ago, she was seen at Columbia University offering her advice. She's a professional, quote, protest consultant. She's been arrested over 80 times. She has reportedly participated in protests on climate change, Occupy Wall Street, and now the Free Palestine Movement. And on Tuesday or midnight, after midnight on Tuesday, she was seen on videos instructing a mob of anti-Israel agitators how to take over an academic building at Columbia University. And she gets paid for this. By the way, Mayor Eric Adams, who is, you know, he's generally speaking, he's a liberal. But he's sick of this. And he should be. He said, what should have been a peaceful protest has basically been co-opted by professional outside agitators. We're extremely cautious about releasing our intel because our goal was to ensure the safety of students. All right, let me just say this, though. Stop rescuing these students. Yes, there are professional agitators in there, but the students are still participating. If you're a follower, that doesn't make you not a criminal. If you are a part of the group that commits the crime, you're still a part of the group that committed the crime. It doesn't matter whether the person up front was the one who says, follow me. If you follow them, you're part of the problem. So these kids, just as guilty. These kids are learning from the best how to be professional agitators. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll do that. We'll come right back. I got more. Like, did you know that a couple of colleges already have given in to their demands? Demands? Yes, they have. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right.
Well, I am back into number one of the Triple Dipper, Campus Mayhem. It's maddening, y'all. It's absolutely 100% no fooling maddening. Now, a minute ago, I read out an article, and I told you that one of the professional agitators was on the campus walking around giving kids snacks and, you know, grapes and grapes and granola bars. And she told him, it's the revolution. You got to eat. Well, okay. So Ben Shapiro wrote a piece for Daily Wire that came out yesterday. He says there's only one very simple reason why these kids are doing it. They want revolution. Okay. Now, when he says that, though, he caveats it by saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but they basically don't know what revolution is. They're bored, and it gives them an opportunity to do something and feel a part of something. And so he says this. He says, in 1918, a Russian poet named Alexander Bloch wrote an essay called The Intelligentsia and the Revolution, in which he argued that violence is an antidote to the boredom, triviality of regular life, adding that it will make everything over, change our false, boring, hideous life. It's called revolution. Okay. What he's basically saying there is, you got all these kids that are out there LARPing as terrorists, he says. LARPing as terrorists. Just, you know, role-playing as terrorists. We know things. Look, look what we're doing. Well, he also points out that these are a bunch of bored, middle to upper class kids who are privileged by a system that has handed them everything. And they find themselves going to campuses where they have professors that teach them how to feel guilty about their so-called privilege. And then they begin to feel guilty. So the only way to absolve themselves of their guilt is to join a revolution. And he calls it cosplaying oppression. cosplaying oppression. But he goes on to basically point out this is foolishness. And they don't even know what it is they're protesting, most of them. But here's the thing. They're making demands. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean, it's really broadened. I'm trying to think which one of the campuses here, if I can find it in my sources. They want their demand, and their demands are getting bigger. Their demands are getting broader. You've got folks that are you know, literally out there doing things on a daily basis on the campuses that don't have any basis in reality. And we're talking right now about them making demands. So they're tearing up the campus, but they still want their vegan food, and they're tearing up the campus, but now they want the campus to divest of any interactions with that that Israel place. And then they go on and they're starting to do things like, you know, some of the campuses now are demanding that the walls be taken down on the southern border. Kid you not. Some of them are demanding that any relationship to manufacturers that create arms and ammunition, that we divest of those too. It gets to the point, it's ridiculous. And yet, story here on USA Today, Northwestern University and Brown University have both decided to give in to the students' demands.
What?
Yes. Apparently, these kids had them so scared that they've decided now that what they're going to do is they're going to accept their demands. So they have. Brown University announced on Tuesday, Northwestern announced on Monday, that they will work towards what they call a peaceful conclusion of the protests, and the victorious stance of the students now comes as encampments have become a flashpoint in the nationwide movement. And they went on to basically say that it's okay. We're going to de-escalate this in a reasonable manner by acceding to their demands. And it's all going to get better. Oh, good. That's awesome. It's going to get better. What are their demands? Well, now the Board of Trustees for Brown is going to vote on whether to divest of any connection whatsoever with the nation of Israel. One graduate student said, "What these students have done is truly, truly historical. We've been able to achieve our goals, and we still kept students safe." Yeah, the sustainable and de-escalated path forward, said Northwestern. Let me explain to you what's about to happen, Northwestern. It's going to be calm for about a month and a half, but pretty soon what you're going to wind up seeing is some of these same students are going to be demanding more. They're going to go to classes, and they're going to backtalk the professors. They're going to go out on the quad, and they're going to basically start, you know, demeaning others who don't, you know, share their views of life. Then they're going to demand that the sports programs be modified and that transgenders be allowed to play in those women's sports. And they're going to make demands, and they're going to, if you don't accede to their demands, they already know how to work the system now, right? They know what to do. They just rally up on the quad. Bring a few plywood and tents and, you know, set up. Next thing you know, purple hairs win the next round of demands. Why would you do this? So if you're out there right now listening to the show and you're thinking about sending your kids or your grandkids to either Brown or Northwestern, I would just go ahead and rethink it, because they've just decided to give in to the demands, which tells you a lot about their institutions. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this Turbo Thursday. And don't forget, bottom of the hour, Butters and Lee will be on with us. And by the way, guess who just walked in the studio? Butters! What's up, Butters?
What's going on?
How you doing?
Oh man, I'm doing great. It's Thursday. Beautiful weather. Great weekend ahead.
Just like the old gang is here. This is good.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
If Boomer walks in the room, it's going to be crazy. We'll have all the bees. It'll be the Big Rig, the Butters, and the Boomer all right, in one room.
Boomer, if you're listening, you got an hour to get here. I'll have a cup of coffee for you.
Awesome. Yeah, he's early. He said he just came for the coffee. I thought you came for the company. You came for the company. The coffee happened to be.
Oh, did I say coffee? Yes, I meant company. No, yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I feel certain that was what you meant. Let me grab some text messages. Because there's a bunch of them. Holy smokes. Big Rig, we might just take the next half hour on text messages, man. Let's do it.
It's a lot.
This is massive. What do we got here? Missy from Falkville says, oh, yeah, Missy with Falkville is confirming what the lovely Charlene texted in. The guys over at Pi Kappa Phi, UNC Chapel Hill, their GoFundMe site is now over $400,000. $400,000. See? Look at that. And that's awesome. She said it does pay to be patriotic. What an inspiring event among all the evil. Yes, indeed. John from Huntsville, going back to the monologues, says, Phil, awesome monologue. Sounded like a monologue that Boomer would have given. Really? Said, yes, exactly right, because Boomer hated participation trophies. Said, however, I will say I'm not as strongly against participation trophies as you and Boomer are, and I would also prefer my participation trophies to be made out of pure gold. That way I can sell them at $2,000 an ounce. Well, he's thought this through. Teresa from Town Creek says, John Rich asked Dan Bongino to help organize it. You see that? I did see that. I did. Tell him to give me a call. I'll be glad to help. Bob from Madison says, the LADA and DA Bragg in New York won't press charges. Here's another one for you. The protesters in Portland, Oregon, who blocked the I-5 bridge and stymied traffic for hours and shut down city services, over half of them just had their charges thrown out completely by the judge. Interesting. By the way, the judge, who I believe is also Muslim, which I throw that out there just because it fit the narrative to the story to tell it. I don't care if you have a Muslim or a Christian or a Jewish judge, but if it appears that there's some kind of leniency going on, then you have to just wonder. Leanne from Huntsville says, I don't like the media message that the riots are happening, quote, all across the country, because they're not. It's primarily the Northeast, according to the Blaze map. Well, there are hotbeds, but you've also got them at the University of Alabama, the University of Emory University in Atlanta, University of Florida, UNC Chapel Hill. So it's not just in the Northeast, because California was the big one last night with the raid on that. I got a phone call. I'll take it. Just 1 minute. All right. Let me give me a few more of these text messages. Keith from Parts Unknown says, and the beauty of it all is we get to pay off these student college loans. Doesn't that give you a warm, fuzzy feeling? No, not really. Cold and prickly, I'd say. Cold and prickly. JT Lacey Springs says, the frat brothers, I'd be willing to chip in for them to have a right side item. Man, we get a bunch of Pi Kappa Phis walking around wearing right side ruffian t-shirts. That could be awesome. John M. from Huntsville. John M. says, UCLA's administrations have fostered and promoted liberalism and anti-American woke ideology for decades. All the destruction they recently experienced is the fruits of their labors. You reap what you sow. And then he says, and you may have already explained the significance of the invaders pulling their enemy's flag down and raising their own. If not, please do so from a military perspective. Well, it shows control. It shows conquest. It shows who is the dominating force. I mean, think about what flags are for, right? Flags on the battlefield are to not only signal we are here, we have won, we placed our flag on the high ground, placed our flag on the moon, but that you can see where your troops are. They use flags to signal troops in days of old. The guidon of the flag of the unit is still a big deal in front of an Army, Marine Corps, or other combat arms unit. So yeah, the truth is these flags mean something, but the flag is also the representation of the nation. You know, on the far side of the world, when you have an embassy set up, the flag needs to be taken down. If there's ever an evacuation of the embassy, the flag needs to come out with the ambassador. And so the flag represents, it's the symbol of the nation. And for it to be taken down like that and replaced with the flag of another nation was not only demeaning and immoral, but it was absolutely a slap in the face of the country. Tyler from Huntsville did correct me, and you're right, Tyler. I see that now. He says it was U.S. Marshals that were killed serving a warrant on a felon with a gun. Yeah, Tyler, you're right. The four that the flag was flying at half-mast for were actually U.S. Marshals, but they died. They did die in Charlotte, I believe. Okay, here's the one I have to slow down and say it. Russell from Rural Route 1. I can't hardly say that. Says, I know it's off subject, but did you know a bill was passed? Okay, this is off subject. I did see this. It fits my next dipper if I get to it. Yeah, the Alabama State Senate is considering a bill to allow illegal aliens to go to college in Alabama, and I do not understand that. I put it on my social media earlier today. Oh, Marshall from Dubai says, my oldest brother James asked my dad, I wonder what Marshall would be doing if he was here at one of these colleges. My dad said, oh, no, Marshall's not a smart bomb. He's a precision-guided piece of munitions. You turn him loose, and it's like dropping a 15,000-pound air fuel burst. When you send Marshall, he takes out multiple city blocks. Loves to fight. He fights dirty. It's not like Marshall's spoiling for action. Let me jump on the phones before I run out of time. Is that Jeffro? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. I just had my truck stop fish and my pickled eggs, and now my belly is ready to rumble.
Listen, my belly rumbles just hearing about your diet. I don't know how you get by on that stuff, man. But it's a good thing you ride that rig by yourself, because you wouldn't have any friends in about 10 minutes.
Oh, I know. I believe they could have released me on the campus of UCLA there, and I probably could have cleared them out by myself.
You are not right. Oh. What do you think of all this campus stuff, man?
I think, is there any way we can charge these idiots at UCLA with their election of duty of something? Because, they declared that these what they was doing was an unlawful gathering, I guess, or whatever you call it. And then they proceeded to let them do the next day to bring in plywood and all these things, nail guns and stuff, so that they couldn't be taken out of there. So what in the world is – there is no such thing as a institution of higher learning, because if we got those stupid people at the top of the chain there, that there's no coming back from that. I mean, I'm sorry, but if these kids is going to these schools, I'd like to have them have some independent testing to see if they actually did know anything or graduate, because they got to be padding those grades.
So let me hazard this for you. What you're seeing right now is people who have never truly had to lead anything in their lives now being forced into a position where they have to lead, and so these people that are in charge of the campuses that are doing nothing and wringing their hands. This is exactly what's happening in our White House right now when it comes to things like Iran. Wringing their hands, trying to appease them. Please don't do something mean. Well, you're seeing the exact same thing in some of these chuckleheads that run universities. They've always been able to put on the cap and gown and enjoy the moments of academia. And they're all published and everything's great and they have tenure. But when it comes time to make a hard decision like get the frick off my campus and quit tearing stuff up, they don't know what to do, because that's called leadership.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say they're all Joe Biden, because he's never led anything in his life either.
That's exactly
right.
See
what kind of shape we're in now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We're watching a microcosm of the foreign policy of the Biden administration on these campuses.
Exactly. And these college professors, now this is how bad it is. You got college professors in there with these kids and got them on everything. Why would you send anyone in any of these classes that these people are teaching? Because if they're that dumb, how can you teach anything? I mean,
well,
the short bus kids are driving the bus again, man.
Wearing the helmet and licking the windows, right?
You better believe it.
I don't know, man, but I'll tell you right now, what I am seeing is that there's already lawsuits against some of these campuses by kids who are having their education destroyed after paying $70,000 a year to go there. And you've got a kids who spent 4 years in college, who spent their first year being locked down because of COVID, and now they're finally out and about and enjoying life again and about to graduate, and they can't even walk the line to get their diplomas because the campus is letting things like this happen. Hey, brother, I gotta run to a break, man. You be careful on the road, all right?
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, we'll see you. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. I guess I gotta catch up on a few more text messages. You guys are amazingly involved in this topic. And then don't forget, coming up, bottom of the hour, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. A little Fandango coming through there right now. I'm saying a little ZZ Top. a little three-man band from Texas. So we were having a discussion off the air. Butters walked in, and he and Big Rig and I were sitting here. You just said something about how long is it going to be until some Bubba gets in the truck and heads over to a campus to have at it.
Well, and I know we talked months ago about all the various things going on, and, you know, yeah, how close are we getting to the point where somebody actually is going to go out and take things into their own hand? Because, hey, I've lost confidence in the government. I've lost confidence in the adults that should be running our organizations and our world, and going, I'm going to take care of this. And that just sounds like a.
Yeah. Or the one, like I said, too, that I can just see being an issue. Somebody finds out let's say, you know, Joe Bob finds out his daughter was accosted by some of these keffiyeh wearing, mm-hmm. knuckleheads. And he doesn't know who it was, but he knows where they were. And he goes down there with a baseball bat and just says, I'm going to fix a few heads. I mean, I can see that happening. We I made the comment that during all the BLM rioting, there was a lot of tension. I think that the nation has learned a bit from the BLM Antifa riots.
Yep.
I also think the BLM Antifa riots were what I would say were a bit more intimidating because they were out on the streets and they were mobile. They were going around and doing things. They'd pop up somewhere and then they burn a building and they go somewhere else. And sometimes they set up their, occupied zones. These are, I would say, less intimidating because they're just they're like a bunch of kids that are just feeling empowered for the moment, but they're really breaking the law. I mean, like really breaking the law, and someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I'm just the more and more of this, and I mean, like we've talked about so many times as we trudge on towards November, and the atmosphere that's going on, this just escalates things more and more, and I don't think that's by accident.
No, I don't either. So let's talk about that for a second, if and you don't mind. You're here. I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Is it because there's something in the background fomenting discord in the midst of the election season? Is it that nefarious? Are we being too conspiratorial by thinking that?
Every day that passes, the conspiracy theorists become less and less conspiracy theorists and more news reporters.
More and more prophets.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's definitely hard to, the big debate of is it some carefully orchestrated thing or is it just the issue of the masses? Is it, what's going on? I don't know. But I find myself thinking a lot more about what was Germany like? Like, what was it like prior to World War II? And like, what was the atmosphere? And, in some ways I have a little more empathy for, the people that were pulled in. Cause not everybody obviously in Germany was bad. They just got pulled into bad stuff,
Well,
and,
yeah,
and
but
is
they,
that
but,
what's going on here?
But they got pulled into bad stuff, but then they let themselves be pulled into bad
Absolutely.
Stuff. And you don't see it going on for years at a stretch and not begin to recognize there's something. I could see where maybe they didn't know overnight this was happening, but by the next week they should have.
Well, and the beauty we have here in 2024 is we have history to learn from. Like, we have access to information. Like, we ought to be able to see this is silly. This is just flat silly behavior. And we have so much to fall back on going, this isn't going to end well. This is not the way. Mm-hmm. If you truly want to speak out about, Palestine and what's going on, this is not the way to do it.
No. No, in this day and age, you can have your own podcast platform and get a million viewers and be an influencer without having to tear down a college. Let me get a few text messages before I run out of time here, bro. Bruce from Hazel Green, where's the Secretary of Education? Why are they not pulling federal funds from the schools? What a great question. But I think they're too busy right now making sure that you know that Title IX no longer matters and that transgenders can play in girl sports. That's where he is. Jeff from Town Creek sent me a really long one. Jeff from Town Creek sent me a paragraph here. Hang on, Butters got something.
Either that, or he's hanging out with the sec def wherever the sec def is. If
are they AWOL? they're all partying at Rehoboth Beach this weekend. Who knows? Jeff Town Creek says, Phil, I got a couple of questions. It's a long text. See what I can do here. If these universities are receiving federal funds, doesn't that make them quasi-government? They're not quasi. They are government facilities, and there's state and federal funds involved in all of these, all of them. Now, some of them are private, like Columbia, I believe, is a private university. But you can't tell me they don't receive federal funds. I'm just Pell Grants and GI Bill alone. He said, shouldn't the protesters get treated with the same amount of scrutiny as the January 6th protesters? I would think so. But then again, that doesn't fit the liberal narrative, does it? He said, calling these students kids, 20 years old, I had already become a sergeant in the Army and led troops and had gone through special forces schools. Hard to look at these 21 and 22s and 25-year-olds and act as if they're kids because they're not. That's a great point, Jeff. I look back and I'm the same way, man. I was literally married at 21. I was a dad by 23. I was a second lieutenant. I was headed to Ranger School. And so, yeah, I get it. You're right. They are old enough to know better. But they have been raised on participation trophies and being told that they're always winners. Always a winner. You're always a winner, and how you feel means everything. Find your own truth. There you are. Chris from Madison says, these protesters from the universities, and my texture just went out right in the middle of reading it. The protesters from the universities don't know their history. When the communists come to power, the intellectuals go to the gulags. That's a great point. Look at the Khmer Rouge, the killing fields. The intelligence of the nation plummeted because those who were educated were seen as the enemy and they had to be dealt with. And I had another one, Brother Chris from Madison. Brother Chris from Madison says, so what you're saying is Brown and Northwestern are populated by a bunch of Neville Chamberlains and they're going to appease Hitler by bowing to the protest demands. There you go, bro. There you go. And we know what happened last time Chamberlain did that, he said, and he's right. Coming right back. Buttons and Lee. We'll be right back.